Chapter 1. I lifted the glass of wine, already drunk on the scenery, before a drop had touched my lips. To the future security of your civilization and solar system, Mr. Nebulae.
To your civilization, Purslane said from the other side of the table.
Thank you, said Mr. Nebulae. We were sitting by the beach, enjoying wine on a warm evening. Nights on the Centaur's world was not the same as on most planets. Since the world orbited a star heavy in ultraviolet radiation, Scapers had thrown a protective bubble around the atmosphere, a transparent shield that the Centaurs tolerated, as opposed to the armored shell that would have been necessary if the House of Moths had moved their solar system. By day the bubble served only to screen out the rays and take the edge off that scalding blue brilliance. By night, it amplified the faintest star or gas cloud until the hues were intense enough to trigger the color receptors in the human eye. The Milky Way was a luminous, many-boned spine, arcing from horizon to horizon. A nearby supernova remnant was a smear of ruby red, dulling to sable at its curdled edges. The pulsar at its heart was a ticking lighthouse, an open cluster of blue stars, no more than a few hundred lights away, spangled like a clutch of electric gems. The dwarf stars within a few lights of this system were warm ambers and golds, promising life and sanctuary and the 10 billion-year stability of a slow fusion cycle. Even the absence was visible, that thumb-sized smudge of starless, galaxyless darkness in the direction where Andromeda used to lie. The sky was beautiful, as luscious as a drug-induced vision, but I did not care to be reminded of the absence. It brought to mind my promise to Dr. Menix, the promise I had so far failed to keep, and which now hung by the slimmest of threads. My only hope was that the Centaurs would come through.
And you're absolutely certain that the Star Dam won't give us any cause for concern in the future, Shatterling Campion? Asked the four-legged being standing at our table.
You can rest easy, Mr. Nebulae. Your civilization is safe again.
Not that it was ever in grave danger, Purslane said, swelling the wine in her glass. Let's be clear about that.
I smiled. A leaking star dam's not something you can ignore, but the fault is repaired. We installed it. We'll fix it if it goes wrong. That's how we do things in Gentian line.
You can understand why we're concerned. When the other survival options were presented to us, it was emphasized that repairing the star dam involved the minimum of risk.
And it did, I said. 1.5 million years ago, a supermassive star within 11 lights of the Centaur's world had grown unstable. Rebirthers had attempted to siphon matter from the star's core using wormhole taps, but the fierce densities and temperatures had thwarted the throat-stabilizing devices that held the wormholes open. Scaper intervention could not protect the Centaur's biosphere. That left only 2 other options, apart from evacuation of the system. Melictaline, the House of Moths, were experts in the movement of stars. They offered to relocate either the star or the system, promising to accomplish either task for free, provided they received exclusive trading rights with the Centaurs for the next 2 million years. Neither option was without risk. The point of moving a star was to eject it out of the galactic disk before it had a chance to explode. But the very act of movement had occasionally led to premature detonation. And while the Centaur system could be moved, their planet would need to be encapsulated against interstellar radiation and debris for the duration of the voyage. This was deemed unacceptable by the Centaurs, who had a horror of claustrophobia. At this point, Gentian Line, the House of Flowers, had made the Centaurs' acquaintance. Seeking prestige within the commonality, we offered them the option of remaining where they were and being protected from the ailing star. A star dam would be erected around the supergiant. When the star blew up, its energies would be contained within the dam, trapped forever inside a screen of perfect mirrors. The Centaurs were naturally skeptical, but Gentian Line could point to some experience in this matter. If it had any specialization within the commonality, it was in star dams. We had been making them for dozens of circuits, millions of years. At the time of the Centaur negotiations, no Gentian star dam had ever collapsed.